Good morning, 740 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Always good to talk with Mayor D.C. Reeves about things going on in the city. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Great to have you. But I want to talk about something that is not at the top of most anybody's priority list, but it's important to me, and we failed to talk about it last week, so I want to make sure and get it done first so I don't forget again.
All right.
The inland port concept as, like, what is, I think I understand what this is going to do, but you tell me, what is the purpose of taking a swath of land somewhere in the city and creating basically an auxiliary port area?
Exactly. It can be confusing. As a matter of fact, I believe there were some local officials 10 years ago when this first conversation came up and said, well, how are you going to build a canal all the way to the bay from this inland port?
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but right, okay, yeah.
No, it can be kind of confusing to understand what's an inland port. It's almost an oxymoron, right?
That you plan to build a canal? Is that what you're saying here on the show?
Yeah, it's going to be called the McKay Canal.
Oh, know? Nice.
all the way to the bay.
With a kayak launch, right?
For sure. Yeah, of course. But an inland port, what it really does is it allows us to have port uses, port activity, in places that are in less prime locations. And if you think about Pensacola's port, we're very unique in the fact of how small we are. We're 50 acres in the heart of a downtown. It's one of those uses where you would want to be able to do things. Take the GE nacelles right now. Well, you see there's a bunch of nacelles if you look on port. But where are those coming from? Those are coming from Scenic Highway. They're being used as storage there. And then they're going out on truck and train.
Oh, did we just lose the mayor? Duh. Call back, DC. Let me send him a text real fast. Oh, man, I hate it when that. There he's got him back. Put him on, John. Technology is great until it's not.
Hey.
Hey, Dave. We had him. You there, DC?
Yep, I'm here.
Sorry about that. Okay, so the nacelles are manufactured at the two manufacturing facilities, and then they're put together at GE Vernova, and then they go to the port to sit.
That's correct. And so here's this prime property. Now, if we had 1,000 acres on a port, then maybe the uses aren't as important, or the storage capacity isn't as vital. But considering the fact that we only have 50 acres, why not have more port property where we can kind of kill two birds with one stone? We can still serve as storage for things like that, but then use that very finite property on the water for people who really need that primary water usage. So that's what the important thing is, in our opinion. And so it just gives us more options. It allows us to create more jobs and gives us more flexibility to do some of those activities that can be done inland. And so in inland, really the two principal functions is not only is it more – it's acreage, right, just storage, places to put things, and potentially buildings and jobs. But additionally, you have a transfer there. It's obviously the plan so that you would be able to train and.
So what I'm confused about, though, is why does it need to be a part of the port? What advantages confer from that? Why can't it just be like the storage facility? I mean, it just can be a plot of land with some fence. It would seem like you guys are smart. There's got to be some additional benefit. I mean, is it a customs benefit? Is it a duty of, what is the value of it being a port thing?
It's really the other thing, the customary needs and clearances of doing port type activity. And so keeping that consistent versus just having, what's the difference between that and the city's laydown yard, right?
In terms of
security, in terms of fencing, in terms of things like that. So there's just certain standards and protocols that are going to be needed for businesses to be able to use it. Because think about it this way: why is GE using the port for storage? It isn't that they can't find a big parking lot somewhere and rent it from someone, but it's got security, it's got certain clearances, it's got all of those different things that allow them to have a seamless transition, custom, as you said, those types of things. So it has the same amenities that are needed from a security standpoint and a kind of doing business standpoint that the port has. It just wouldn't be located directly on the water.
Well, hey, if it facilitates port profits and if it facilitates the business being done by GE Vernova and others, and it somehow works through the security and customs process in order to make that happen, I'm all happy for it. I mean, I'm eager for it.
Exactly. That's right.
I do have a sort of, critic's question that is, it's not necessarily my question, but I think it's a question that comes up that some people might have, which is, okay, I hear you, but if you take the land that is currently being used this way on the port and you free it up and take all of those laid down storage kind of capacities and push them off somewhere else inland, do you not also run the risk of basically turning the port into kind of a land opportunity for developers? You know, the long time concern that people have is that they're going to basically destroy the port, or, you know, really cut it down and turn it into high rises or something like that. Cole, I laid out the nightmare scenario of sorts, you know, the people who are always worried that the port's going to get turned over to developers or something like that. And I hear in my brain their voice, which is, well, it sounds like this is facilitating maybe not an entire project like that, because why build an inland port if you're going to get rid of the port? But an inland port would at least free up some land that maybe could be developed, which is exactly what they've been chomping at to get for forever. Your thoughts?
Sure. Well, first of all, if that were the case, storing the cells would not be the thing that would be stopping that. So I just want to be clear as an alibi. In other words,
gotcha.
The minute amount of money of surface storage on the parking lot would not be the hindrance like a multi-year lease would be. So to disprove that point, if that was the undermining effort, then nothing about an inland port or a lack of an inland port would stop that effort. So,
got it.
But that isn't what we're doing. At the end of the day, what we want is, there are certain uses, i.e. American Magic, i.e. conversations that we can't tell you who yet, type of conversations with potential enormous job creators here, and potentially in the DoD space, that would want that finite property because they would have to have access to the water. GE doesn't, a nacelle doesn't need access to the water. So it's just about putting all of our puzzle pieces in the right locations to be successful. And I've said that about the port since before I took this job. When you have a 50-acre port, this is not Savannah. This is not LA, where you've got acres and acres of cargo type activity. You've got to be, if we want this thing to shine and maximize its potential, we have to be very smart and strategic about every single acre, every single square foot of this property because of its location, so, and because of its size. So what, just store it, I mean, put it this way, put it simply, if we can store stuff that doesn't need water access, if we can still do it as a port function, but not give up and not waste that valuable space to be able to put another job creator, another tenant, another warehouse like that on port, then why wouldn't we do that? You know, I mean, that's really the way to look at it. That's what the value of the inland port is let's do the easier stuff, the simpler stuff somewhere else, still keep the revenue, still have the business, and then allow things that can't be done inland to happen on our port, you know, in terms of job creation.
And, you know, people may not realize, it's understandable they don't know, but for the longest time, Gulf Power and I guess FPL was using some of the facilities on the port just for, like, parts storage, you know, like just in that building. It was just the most low grade use, but it was a way to make a little bit of money. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that have been done historically. So I love your answer. What I hear you saying is there's a deal in the works that you can't tell me about, DOD, that is going to bring a lot of jobs and a lot of revenue here. We're very excited about it. Trust me, this is good for us. If that doesn't materialize, this is extra super good for us if any of that stuff does materialize. And okay, I can take that, you know, plus the McKay Canal excites me.
Exactly.
The Black Lives Matter mural, I know in the grand scheme of things, it's not all that significant, but, you know, these are the things that capture people's attention. You said that Cervantes would have to be closed, and that's a state road, and you guys don't have the resources under the time frame of September 4th to get this done. But do we know ballpark what the cost is going to be? Because we assume that if FDOT does it and charges you, it's going to cost more than if the city did it through their own resources.
It's funny. I've seen that wild assumption mentioned online, too. You know, well, definitely going to cost more if it's FDOT. Well, FDOT has more equipment and more employees at the ready than we do. And so I wouldn't assume that. And that's why we don't mention it's not cost. We've said we will take the cost. It's on a city street. That's not an issue. But my conversation on Sunday with FDOT was, look, you know, if this is going to happen in 8 days and we've got to, you know, we're not Tampa, we're not Orlando in terms of the size of our public work staff. And then secondly, I don't think it would be a full closure. I'm not saying it would be a full closure, Cervantes, but you are going to absolutely close turn lanes and approaches off of Cervantes.
Sure.
You have to. I mean,
of
you
course.
Couldn't have people turning south on the A Street coming east or west. So there'd be partial closures of Cervantes, no doubt about it. And frankly, this area butts up to your road, the state road. And so, you know, we don't want to, you know, what's the right color paint you want us to use? What's the right size turn lane? I mean, in my mind, what really triggered saying, hey, FDOT, fine, we are absolutely going to comply, but can you just help us out? And from a resource standpoint, we'll pay the bill. But was the timeline that, I mean, that's what my concern was, is to say, hey, it needs to be done in 8 days.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of am concerned, what's the message that sends to our citizens that have potholes for 3 months and 6 months, that have,
right,
you know, that we're dealing with safety issues, you know, true public safety issues, that are at a critical juncture that we're working on and our crews are on as I'm sitting here talking to you right now.
Well, so, and you also, I mean, you kind of hinted
it's
at
not adversarial.
Yeah.
It's not adversarial. It's not, we are not any presumption or headline you've read that says that we're not going to comply. That's not what we said. We will absolutely comply with state and federal law. This was only going to be there for 6 months, I believe, when it went into 2020. It's 2025. So we have no issue with the decision. All we're saying is, hey, help us out. You need this done in 8 days. Just help us out and send us the bill.
And they virtually offered you that as an option. What might have been read as a threat was actually just, here's an alternative way to do it. And you kind of hinted at it, but if they do the work, they can't come back later and say the work wasn't done to our standards because they're doing the work, which
correct.
Is a nice additional,
correct,
you know, guarantee on the quality of the thing. The VO scooters. God, we're running out of time. We always run out of time. We need to do another town hall, another radio town hall. Anyway, VO scooters. Some people loved them. A lot of people hated them. Why are we getting rid of them?
I'll give you the short version. Ultimately, we asked our residents, and yes, I've gotten emails because VO sent a text to every person who's ever used a VO, and said that it's affecting tens of thousands of Pensacola residents. Now, they probably should have Wikipedia'd that there's only 55,000 city residents, because that's, I mean, I don't think 80% of our people are using them. Number one. Number two is, and I shared this with them in our call when they were looking at for a renewal, is if they would have put this much effort into talking to our residents about safety and being proactive about driving on the sidewalks and all of these things that clearly had not happened when I was on a call with them. As a matter of fact, it's so tone deaf that the request that came in for a renewal was, can we go back to 2 a.m. and can we go back to allowing driving on sidewalks in Palafox?
Oh, so they had no idea. They had no idea what was going on.
No
here.
Idea.
Okay.
So yeah, what I would say is, for their future contracts, if they'd spend less time sending texts out pleading with people to keep it and more time actually focused on the people who live here, then we probably wouldn't be in this situation. So, but I leave it open. Listen, I love the idea of manual bikes downtown, a bike share like that. I love multimodal aspects, as you know, Andrew. I mean,
yep.
We're investing in so many of them, the built environment. But the bottom line is, this is not functioning as is, and we were so far in a delta of what their expectations are and what ours are. And ultimately, this was generating about $20,000 a year to the city budget. So it's not, you know, so they may have been making a lot of money, but you know, this is not something that's coming back to the taxpayer for something that we were just turning right around and using that money to clean up the pits and, you know, where they go and deal with issues.
Funny,
so,
yeah.
Well,
and
so
you said this is a pilot.
Us,
it's a pilot know? Program. And so sometimes pilot programs yield a no. And, you know, that's fine.
Exactly.
I also hear you saying that you want rental skateboards downtown. So that's cool, along with the canal. That's excellent.
exactly.
Maybe not exactly. All right. Lightning round. We always like to end with this. I think I know what the answer to this has to be, but I'm still curious. Have you ever stapled a bucket McGuire's or Hub Stacy's or, you know, anywhere that does this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, back when the bathrooms at McGuire's were right on the right behind the kind of the meat locker over there. That was my first dollar I got probably 35 years ago.
All and right. Wow.
I think I've gotten Destin and Panama City now, too, as well. The new one.
So lots of D.C. Reeves of wealth is invested
exactly.
in the walls and ceiling
exactly.
at McGuire's. Do you read the instruction manual on your car or any instruction manual, or do you just go to it when there's a problem?
Yeah. Once I'm not smart enough to figure it out, then I go, which usually means pretty quickly, you know, some kind of button I'm looking for. No, absolutely. No, we're going to go ahead and we're going to give it a dry run, Andrew, normally, and then we'll see what happens.
Try it on your own, maybe YouTube. And then eventually, if you have to, go to the manual. Is your porch light on at night, off at night, on all day long? What's your porch light protocol?
You know, I guess the outside lights are on. I think, yeah, outside lights are on.
Okay.
But I'd like to say it was scientific or timed or something like that. I think it's just when we remember to hit it. But I think the intent is to have it on at night.
Okay, all right. Inviting, open, lit up, all of that, and the bugs love you too. Okay, fair enough. D.C. Reeves, mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.